things cannot be long hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. So tonight, the truth is going to be unfiltered and full of flavor. Please welcome Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo, bringing you the Smoking Truth.
McCool, or as I like to call once in a blue moon, Platinum McCool, because she is still a little platinum, you know, a little saucy, a little spicy, little darker there. Somebody just looks like they just came in.
There. Yeah. Look at that.
They just came in hot off the off the beach.
I feel triggered right now. I did. You know why? Let me just tell you why, damn it. Because today was Friday. And I'm an adult, and I have worked my whole adult life to be able to say, I want to go to the beach today and go to the beach. Yes. And I worked from the beach.
As well you should. As well you should. Good for you.
What gave it away?
Besides the phone call this morning, I definitely would have, you know.
The bikini sticking out of the top of your
the bikini
old
top
t-shirt.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. That don't look like no bra strap to me, but okay.
And the sand on my feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As she's walking the studio, and OG's like
leaving a trail of sand through my studio.
Clean that damn sand up.
I got him in barefooted. You know, I was driving back from New Smyrna.
Yeah.
I gave myself almost an hour, and it's still, you see what time I got here. Man, because, of, you know, rough. Just traffic.
Traffic.
But, yeah, we're not overdeveloped.
Traveling from one side of Volusia to the other.
Spring break again, so.
Yeah. It really
That's
is.
Right,
oh,
yeah.
My God. Listen, I just wish them all the best. I watch these young kids going up and down the beach. And I was telling, because Boots was with me at the beach today.
Yeah.
And I was like, that used to be me back in the day. I had my day in the sunshine. So I just say, y'all go continue on.
I was driving around last weekend when I finally got back home. And I had to take care of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. My father's been riding motorcycles for years. And he doesn't do it anymore because I'm assuming he's getting older. And he just, you know, so the bike is just parked now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, so I'm riding around and just bikers everywhere. Don't get me wrong. I want everybody to understand. I love bikers. But it's just, no, I'm at a point now where it's just way too many people. And uh-huh. Because I'm driving around and they're just like, and I'm always very cautious with the motorcyclists, right? Because mm-hmm. I really am.
Them not so much with us.
Yeah. But they just, and it happens, yes. Them not maybe as much, but it's just, it's so many and mm-hmm. they're all over. And then they add to that traffic jam. And then now spring break is here. And obviously we're in Florida. So where does everybody want to come? If it ain't. I think we're probably the number one. I'm assuming we're probably number one destination for spring break.
Probably.
If not, it's got to be the other. I think they were going a long time ago.
Let's go to Florida.
Yeah, they were doing Lake Havasu in Arizona for a long time on the West Coast, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely probably number one. And so many people.
I don't go out on my bike during bike week.
I don't blame you.
I don't. There's too much stupidity going on. You know what I mean? My motorcycle is reserved for after the touristy time.
Yeah, no, I get it. Listen, you know what I mean? my dad would go like one day out of the week, like you just or in a weekend just to go check out the whatever. And he mm-hmm. took my second oldest one time when my son was like 15 years old, just take him out there and mm-hmm. and they got a picture with some lady in her bikini, whatever, and my dad and I was sitting, I was like, check him out. Pop, what are you doing? He's 15 years old. Ah, don't worry about it. He's just being a boy. He's a boy, you know. Anyways, I thought that was cool. But
I love your pop.
Yeah.
And your brother, the tall one.
Yeah.
Well, they're all tall.
It's all good. But anyways.
Hey, listen, I just want to say something. Yeah. Welcome back. You are very, very missed. I mean, people love me, but they love you.
Yeah, no, listen, I appreciate it.
I felt like my arm was missing or something.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's never the same. And so when we talk about if we're going to have to miss something, I was kind of, the feng shui is just not there.
It's not.
There's definitely a chemistry that, you know, you and I have on just kind of bringing it to the show and whether I'm a little more reserved or a little crazy at times, or whether you tend to be a little more crazy at times. I just, you know.
Can I just tell you something? We've been doing this podcast for over a year now. I think that people know what the real tea is.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Big red R beside Eric Raimondo fool you.
I am trying to be a little more, I'm trying to be a little more steady Eddie. You want to know why?
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I was just telling my wife about this today. So Senator Baxley from Senate District 13, which
wait
covers,
a minute, why am I mad with Baxley right now?
I don't know, but Senator Baxley,
she's mad at me. She doesn't know why.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I know she's always mad about something. But anyways, mm-hmm. so Center Baxley's leaving, right? He's done. And he's had a long career in the Florida legislature.
Maybe I went mad. Maybe that's what it was.
And anyways, he gave his farewell speech. A lot of people on the Senate floor were giving their speeches to him, and then he gave his final one. And Senator Baxley's been one who's fought on a lot of issues for children when it comes to children with disabilities, adoption. He adopted his own kids, and so forth. And what I loved about him was he was just so calm always. Very conservative. I will tell you this, much more conservative than me. He's a man of very, very strong faith. And I admire that about him. To have that, just that level of faith, because I've told people privately, and I don't want to talk about it too much on the show, but I told people privately, there's a kind of a bit of a journey I've been going on for a very long part of my life. And anyways, I'm at a certain point. Maybe we'll talk about it privately one of these days. Anyway, so my point is that he's been a rock. And every time I go to visit him in his office or his staff, whatever, which Stan McClain's son's not a county commissioner. He used to work for Senator Baxley, a good friend of mine. I would go over there and visit. And Senator Baxley was there, just always so – and when you see him walking down the hall, if you're a senator and you don't look right for some reason, meaning that you're just something off about the day, he will walk up to you and tell you, hey, are you doing okay? And it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, because bipartisan, everybody would say, we're going to miss that. Mm-hmm. He'd pull you into the office, and if you were okay with doing a prayer, he'll do a prayer for you right then and there. And it wasn't like never pushy, right? I'm not a big fan of the big mouthy individuals because I just feel like there's always something missing there when it comes to that. I'm a big believer in those who have that nice, strong, steady, quiet faith. Mm-hmm. That to me means a lot more to me than the ones who get real preachy. Mm-hmm. He's never been that way, and I've always so admired him about his just cool, calm, collectedness, and just his passion for his faith is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So that all said, I'm at a point in my life where now I've been trying. I was telling my wife today, I said, honey, you notice when I came back, I'm trying very hard to show more patience. Yeah, my hope is that I'm trying to get to a better place. It's a day everyday thing. I got to get up in the morning. I got to call myself out on it, remind myself, and every once in a blue moon, somebody gets into my whatever. Okay, and I'll chuckle a little bit and I'll laugh, and I just kind of go, all right, this is one of those points where you're getting tested. Just, it's okay. And not everything's, it's never going to be always the end of the world. We may disagree on a bunch of things, but it's not the end of the world. And there are things we can fix. So anyway, that's kind of where my head. So Senator Baxley was out. So my big shout out to Senator Baxley on that. And I'm trying to get to a place of better peace and calm. That's all it is. You know?
Oh, gee, are you concerned right now?
About anything specific or just in general?
No, just me. He's
a little touchy-feely, it seems, or something.
Yeah. It's like, you know what it is? It's like, Eric, I don't know if you know this. You might be having a midlife crisis.
No, definitely not. Okay. Definitely not.
Okay. Are you smoking? Are you smoking to my father?
No, I'm not, actually.
What is that?
You had never got a chance to meet who my lover was.
Eric, who's your lover? Crickets.
Well, Miss McCool, funny you should ask. Actually, this is La Roma de Cuba. I'm always going for like La Gloria. It's one of my go-tos all the time amongst some of the others in here. I was just here earlier in the week, and I stopped by, and I got one of the plus.
I heard. Gold. Wait, can you tell me? Yeah. Who were you with the second time? Because you and I said, look, I missed you too bad. We have to have a cigar.
That was Sunday.
You and 305.
Yeah, that was 305.
Then you came in with somebody.
Today's Friday. I came in on Wednesday, I believe.
Oh, you came in with somebody else.
Yeah, I came in with a friend of mine. Yeah, that Mikey and Steven met over Winter Park. And he happened to be with me. I said, hey, let's go to Cigar House. And we sat down for a little bit and got a little short stick. Anyways, in tally, as I go through some of the blend and some of the stuff, whatever, and if I don't bring cigars from over here, then I'll try and get – anyways, La Roma de Cuba is one that I actually enjoyed. This is a Churchill. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
I know they don't normally carry it over here, but it's just something I wanted to bring in because I know it was something different for the show. That's it.
Okay, let me just do this. Mm-hmm. People, we're on Facebook. We're on Podbean. We're on all the podcast things. We're on
– YouTube.
YouTube. We're everywhere. The Smoking Truth. Boom. That's the housekeeping.
There you go. Love it. Love the housekeeping. All right. So let's get into what was as much as we can and either be happy about it, gripe about it. I'll give you my as much as I can, my 2 cents from what I remember because it's hard to track. you know, the amount of bills that get filed every year, and then and I have to worry more importantly about my boss's bills specifically, right?
Right.
As I try, but I'm trying to keep an eye on everything as well. And then obviously there were some things that were near and dear to your heart that we talked about early on.
Did JB's bill go through?
So I was just talking about that because there was an iteration that came up, and as always towards the end of the session, things start happening and things start getting rolled into another bill and blah 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 blah. So what I found out is that her bill made it. On the lethality assessment for domestic violence stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, high five.
Yes, it did make it. So it, what happened was it got wrapped up into another bill from Senator Colleen Burton's because there was some stuff on child dependency when they had to get a title change on the whole shebang because I was trying to keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody reminded me, this is what happened there. I said, oh, I remember at the end of the session, yes. So that bill did pass. It's, you know, we're just waiting for it, obviously, to get over to the governor to go sign for it. We're fully expecting the governor to sign it. But yeah, it did pass. It was a good bill. Obviously, the first stop was.
I like
my
to
boss's.
Say that it's the bill that I almost had some words in the bill because
when
I talked with her about it, and I was like, "She's like, what do you?
It is
what do you think?" And I'm like, "If you put this verbiage in here, remember, because I've been fighting about getting the judges to disclose, right?" And so we talked about that. It talked about how to work it into the bill, and I was just absolutely flattered that she took time to talk with me and took it seriously, and she's so. Very passionate and knowledgeable. Oh my God! Like she is amazing.
So she's been carrying the mantle on with a couple of the reps on the human trafficking portions of it, child sex offenders, and obviously that she's been definitely
the lethality assessment.
Lethality assessments,
I'm really impressed with that.
On domestic violence, as a prosecutor from Duval County, that's some of the things that she's been working on. And what I'll say is, once again, yes, you had input in there. The only thing I heard throughout the process was the Sheriff's Association came up and they were trying to put input on trying to narrow and tailor the questionnaires for these lethality assessments, right? But there was a Senator Erin Grawl didn't want to change much because she was like, she told the Sheriff's Association, hey, these are fact-based or evidence-based questions.
Right.
That's why I want to keep them intact.
Yeah, exactly.
The sheriff so much weren't against it. It wasn't so much against the questioning. It's just, I think from them, from a perspective of, you know, of implementing it, we wanted to streamline it. Mm-hmm. So I heard they're going to go into one of the things the bill is going to do is give time for the sheriffs to all get together and police chiefs to get together to kind of figure out what is that questionnaire going to look like. Obviously, the legislature wants us to carry this out a certain way. And then within that framework, what can we do to come up with something that's going to be pretty standard throughout Florida?
So let me ask you something. Do you think that the legislation understands? I know that they have a lot of stuff to work on. I mean, all kidding aside.
Yeah.
I know that they have a lot of stuff to work on, but they are absolutely correct about that when this is evidence-based and there's a reason to lay that out. And I understand training and resources necessary, but they should probably, the legislation and when the sheriffs, they should get information from the advocates also. Do you know how hard these advocates work in Volusia County, the victim advocates? Do you know how much detail they have access to when we're talking about how to write that kind of stuff, things that fall through the cracks or reasons that judges have denied injunctions and da 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 and on and on.
What I would suggest then at that point is, look, you know, I don't know to what extent our sheriff will be super involved or not. That was my understanding. They're supposed to try and get a working group between some sheriffs and police chiefs together to come up with some of this stuff. My suggestion would be at some point, if you can, reach out to Sheriff Chitwood and just for like the same way you did to Rhett Baker and say, look, you know, there's a bill that was out there and I'll try and get you the bill number that I got finally wrapped up into. And if he's not fully aware because, you know, he's out there being Superman in Volusia County, make him a little bit aware and say, look, this is, you know, my understanding there were a number of questions that were wrapped up in that bill. I'd love for you guys to try and take up as much of that as possible because a lot of stuff is evidence-based. I get it. You know, there's the whole issue of resources and what's the right questions to ask. But my understanding is that the reason why those questions were in the bill is because they felt they were evidence-based.
Exactly. So I would listen, I fangirl over a good legislator, period. I don't care what letter they wear on their chest. You know that? And I have become a very big fan because I have been following Rep Baker. And so I'm a big fan of her. I, you know, thank her for that. You know, I love me also some Rep Garrison as well. He was very, very instrumental in helping steer me the right way. So, yeah, I'm fans.
I foresee him to be a good overall speaker on some of the. So my guess is that Sam is probably going to stay within the healthcare space. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it evolves because each speaker, as they come up, as the time goes on, they start to develop what their framework is for their speakership. And something right. tells me, I think that Sam's going to try and play as much as he can within the healthcare space because he knows Love it's it. Needed.
Yeah.
I'm going to dovetail into something else that you and I talked about too okay. as well, which was for some Democrats a little controversial. For many Republicans, it wasn't. And this is the issue of the camping bill, basically, that mm-hmm. That he was sponsoring on the House side. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows, so that bill basically just made it, in essence, you know, illegal to just set up, you know, these camps anywhere, right? And you all have seen them out there before, and for a lot of my Republican
homeless
friends.
He's talking about homeless camps, not recreational camps.
Yeah, camping. I'm sorry, homeless camps, yeah. And so, and for a lot of my Republican friends who, you know, obviously watch Fox News or Newsmax, whatever, you guys have seen the stories from either, you know, from the cities like New York and or San Francisco, LA, whatever. And it's something that we just said, we do not want to have that in our state. And so it's not, and there was a point you brought up to me, I think it was on one of the last show that I did where I called in from Tallahassee on let's not recognize homelessness. And listen, what I'll tell you is that if anybody ever gets a chance, I know it seems kind of, you know, daunting, but if you get a chance to watch when Sam closes out on the bill, on his closing remarks on the bill, as he promised everyone, I get it. This is not what I want for our state of Florida. And I would argue that there are many who don't want this for the state of Florida. However, I do rest assured, I'm giving you my word that we're going to work on issues when it comes to homelessness and what we can do to provide some sort of support system there, whatever it may be, right? Maybe it's larger policies, whatever it may be. But he told them all, I said, look, this is not about ignoring the homeless situation that we may have here in Florida, or that may come our way if we get into another crash, right? Which, you know, many are anticipating will probably happen. Something's going to happen with the economy, right? But it's just not something where we want people to set up, because the challenge always is because it does become a little bit of a public safety issue, because we don't know who's setting up shop. There are a lot of legitimate people who are hurting, but there's also a lot of people who are homeless who have mental health issues and so forth, and this becomes a little bit of a public safety issue as well. Plus, is that the look you want for your state? And what more can we do to work with nonprofits and churches and so forth to get these folks someplace where they can be? So, I mean, listen, you could smile about it. I'm just telling, maybe you think it's Pollyannish. I'm just trying to tell you is that that's where I think that's where we need to go. So, yeah, go ahead, Ms. McCool, comment, please. Comment away, because you're just sitting there smiling and doing whatever. Folks, she just got this big grin on her face like, you're so full of it, Eric. go ahead, comment, please. I'm all ears.
Okay, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
That is true. I agree.
So, you know, advocates have been trying to sound the alarms on the homeless issue for a long time.
Yeah.
And here's what happens, okay? Everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean the Republican, one of the Republican tenets, I believe, maybe falsely,
okay?
Everybody support themselves, pull themselves up by the bootstraps, do it, boom, sis, bah, boom.
Generally speaking, yeah.
General, it is. That's what the Republicans think. Yes. We take care of our own. You take care of your own family. Stop being, you know, stop making everybody welfare dependent. I understand the whole story with the Republicans tell about, you know, I used to see wild birds come in, and then I put a bird feeder up, and then you know what happened? All the birds start shitting on my property. Right. So that, what does that tell you like about welfare? Same shit. You know what I mean? That I hear that. And
first time I ever heard that one, but okay. But I like the analogy though.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Of course you would. My thing is that I don't believe that the Republicans really believe that it is an every all hands on deck problem, homelessness. I believe that it's politically unfavorable for Republicans. I believe that they understand that it's an issue that needs to be taken care of. But here's the thing. When you bring the bill down, like this bill has been brought down, when you become immediately punitive without any way of understanding how you're going to support now that disenfranchised base, you're in for a shit ton of problems. Look at Live Local, unintended consequences, people. And it seems to be the Republican way that we're just going to do this now, and then we're just going to let the shitstorm fall where it may. We'll take care of that later. There's been no talk about funding from the state for mental health. I've not heard the governor come forward and in the light of these bills say, but this is what we're going to do with a solid plan of what we're now going to do with the crazy homeless people. And I'm not saying crazy in a disrespectful way. I'm saying that we have a lot of homeless people on the streets with mental health issues. And what are we going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? How are you going to support? How are you going to support SMA and other recovery-based houses? Are you going to put up halfway houses? Is the state going to sponsor that? No, they're not, because this is what they're going to say. That's not our job. It's the city's job. And the fucking cities, we're running out of money. You know why? Because we're having to take care of all the bullshit that the state is not understanding, that the shortfall is coming down to the city, Eric.
On that last point, I'll tell you, look, I will tell you that I do worry about how far we go with shifting the burden towards local government.
Dude, we have done that for everything. Eric, you have done that for everything.
Well, but some people will sit here and go, oh my God, it's a major problem. I'm going to tell you, no, it can become an even bigger problem. It may be something there.
Homelessness?
No. I'm just talking about the issue with the cities just in general, right? The shifting of the burden to the cities. Now, as far as homelessness is concerned, I'll just tell you, look, I hear you. I know. Look, we are applying monies, and I'll give you listen, I hear you, but Dana, let me tell you something. None of this stuff, you always got to remember, I'm trying to tell you, whether you agree or not, I'm trying to tell you there's always going to be a certain level of unintended consequences of any bill you do.
Let
me tell you something, both sides of the aisle. Some will argue that, if the Democrats want to do this, I know it's well-intentioned, but you're including more government, and there's going to be unintentional consequences for that as well, too, either the private sector or other ways that we do not want. And then we have to try to roll it back, and that's very hard to do.
Eric, can you name to me three domestic violence shelters here in the area?
The only one I know of is the one I'm always most familiar with, obviously the one over in Daytona Beach. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of the...
And Volusia County is 500,000 people. Yeah. So 500,000 fucking people, you're depending on one domestic violence shelter.
Listen.
Couldn't know why it's not the state's responsibility.
Listen.
Not going to do anything about the fucking crimes. Here's what they're going to do. You're going to have people, you're going to have cops arresting the bad fuckers, and then the judges are letting them out, or the state is talking about being more lenient and shit. It's a shit show. They don't know how they're going to – they're not know how they're going
to
do this.
This is what I will tell you, is that I think it is time to start really looking at – for us as a state, to start looking at, okay, where are we at with domestic violence? And I know – because I want everybody to understand too. This is one of the things that I'm always trying to be very careful with, and even though I get caught up in it, right, which is sometimes when you're in a group – there is a tendency sometimes to feel like it's and trust me when I say this, I'm not being dismissive and I'm not trying to downplay anything. There is a tendency sometimes to feel that there's a bigger problem than there may be than what others may perceive it as. And I'll say this, right? So we talk about the homeless issue. How big is it or how big is it not? Maybe Republicans don't want to feel it's a big
Deltona,
issue.
Deltona, it's
– Yeah, and I'm just saying in general, right? There are people – and I'll just say that, okay, for the same reason Republicans feel that the homeless camping encampments are a big deal because they see it on TV. I'd argue the same on the other side where Democrats think that the gun violence is, is crazy. And I'll just go, listen, years ago when we'd have social media and all this stuff, playing this stuff nonstop, I would tell you that that was an issue that was relegated to regionally to that one area. But now it's being blasted on us every single time. And all we're doing as people, pick your issue is we're responding to that. Good or bad, depending on how you feel on which side of the aisle you're on, take a number of issues. And so what I'm just saying is that we are responding. It may not be as fast as many want. Some areas, we're moving up. Like I'll tell you, the environment. We're going to get to that in a second. We're finding way. We're allocating more monies. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to do that. When it comes to this mental health, part of the big deal that Paso Doma wanted to pass this year on Live Healthy, one of the things was ensuring that we have enough teaching hospitals to push out more mental health specialists to get them out into the field so that we can go ahead and start addressing the issue of mental health. More money. That was an $800 million package that we got done this year, an $800 million package. And so for many folks out there who wonder why some of their projects got cut, their infrastructure projects, was because we had to set aside $800 million for that one project alone. And there's other things too. My point is that we're getting there. It's not perfect. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, I do also believe with you, we need to apply some more funding in some of these areas. And there's also legal issues. What I mean by that is like what Representative Baker was doing. There's things that we have to also address when it comes to some of these issues on how do we better identify or how do we better protect these individuals who suffer from sexual violence, right? Big time. That's one, and like you said, one bite at a time, right? So that's one aspect of it. More is going to come, I think, from her and others on a host of issues when it comes to human trafficking, children. That's been a big priority with a new group of individuals coming in, Republicans and Democrats who are coming in. Like on her lethality assessment bill, It was both her and Representative Bartleman from Broward. I'm from Broward. And they worked on that together because something that that was near and dear to Representative Bartleman's heart as well, too. So I'm encouraged. I'll put it this way. I'm encouraged on a group of individuals that are coming up younger. Mm-hmm. Let me also say this as well. Younger. I'm 49 years old. A lot of these members, some of these members that are coming in are in their early 30s, mm-hmm. right, to mid-30s. Well, I don't want to say it. No, anyway. Anyways, I'm not going to put any females age out there, but age group. My point is these members are coming in younger, and they're seeing things differently, maybe, for whatever reason, than older folks are.
People have divisive burnout. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I don't disagree with that, yeah.
I was talking with someone earlier, Republican. I'm not going to say who it is, but on the way back here, we were talking about something, and I told him, I said, the old mindset, the old political mindset, they don't want people to get along. That's why that shit is advertised so loudly, is because being divisive gives somebody more power.
And money.
If you have collaboration, mm-hmm. when you have collaboration and people are working on that, you usually have people that are thoughtful. You have people that are intelligent. You have people that have critical thinking skills. You have people that understand why collaboration is necessary, mm-hmm. right? But then you have people at the top of either party, I'm just going to say partisan politics, that don't want people to collaborate, because what that does, they feel like it dilutes their power base. And people are more power hungry than they are solution hungry. And that is the effed up thing about politics today, is that politics is about winning, ego, narcissism, money, da-da-da. It's not about collaboration. But I tell you, more people are collaborating. More people are collaborating now than ever, I believe, Republicans and Democrats, on things like this, because people are suffering divisive burnout. Like, they're burned out from it.
We're trying to find – what I'll say is that there are those who are actively trying to find ways to come together. It may not be the majority or the majority may not be thinking about it in those terms all the time. Mm-hmm. They're not against it, but they're just not thinking about it. They're doing their own thing. But there is a new crop of individuals coming in who are looking at how can we better collaborate on some of these issues, mm-hmm. because we have to deal with them. It's a reality. Mental health. Mental health is one of those things in Tallahassee that always – gets a huge amount of bipartisan support. Now, the devil's always in the details, and as it goes through the process, right, there is always the, well, we'd rather do it this way, rather do it that way. But ultimately, and I'll give you one example, one aspect of that where there was bipartisan support, okay, which is something else we talked about, which is HB3, the online protections for children, right, which started off as HB1. That was one where Representative Saroy out of Brevard County, okay, Representative Rayner, I believe she's from the Southwest Florida. I think she's like Tampa, from the Tampa area. Okay, and she's always advocating another one who's always advocating for LGBTQ issues herself. Those two, and then it was one other who was another Republican on that as well too, who was helping out. But anyways, Rep. Saroy and Rep. Rayner got involved, and the reason for that was because she spoke to – so when – this was a big piece for Speaker Renner. This child protection stuff, some of the child protection things that you're seeing coming over the last 2 years was all largely being motivated behind the scenes by Speaker Renner. It's kind of what his legacy piece was to leave behind as a speaker. So when he heard about this, he knew that Rep. Rayner wanted to do something about online bullying and other things because it impacts everybody. I don't care who you are. LGBTQ, straight, I don't care who you are. It impacts everybody. White, black, you know, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. So, but he also realized that there, the long term, we're running into problems with trying to have to deal with health, with mental health, and there's a strong correlation between what happens online and what we see down the road. So, anyway, so there was huge collaboration. She was involved every step of the way. I can rest assured and tell you that she was involved every step of the way in that process. The speaker made sure, Representative Saroy made sure as well that she had big input because they really did not want to make this a Republican-Democrat issue. They really wanted to make this a bipartisan show that the social media companies over here in Florida, we're not playing around. We understand there's some constitutional issues here and there we have to be careful with, but whatever we think we can do within the legal limits of the law, we're pushing back and saying, you guys need to start policing yourselves. And if this bill can do that, along with other states who are looking at us as a model, then so be it, I say, because our kids are that important. So anyways, that was one thing on that mental health piece. I will move over to something else that I know is also kind of near and dear to your heart when it comes to just the overall conversation about, you know, marijuana and everything, right? So this year we had a hemp bill. Mm-hmm. And there was a move to basically create a so one of the biggest concerns we've been having with hemp in general is – so we don't have all the uses yet solidified on other hemp uses, whether it be rope, concrete, whatever it may be, right? So what's happened since the Farm Bill came out, I think back in 2017 was passed by the federal level, we've been coming out with different policies on hemp and also medical marijuana and so forth. A lot of folks were – Florida became almost a little bit of a free-for-all for a lot of folks out of state. Entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. California, Nevada, Colorado, I don't care. You name the state. I'm not trying to pick any particular mm-hmm. state for being liberal or not. I'm just any state. And they're shipping all this stuff over here. Much of that stuff is finding its way to the gas station. Some of it is finding its way to legitimate places like, you know, like there's one up in Tallahassee called Tallulah. Tallulah has a number of shops and so forth. The problem was that the grade and quality of these gummies and so forth were very powerful. And then the problem that everybody was having was, oh, I'm self-medicating. And they were saying, well, wait a minute, you know, that becomes a problem for policymakers. Even some Democrats, like in the Senate, Senate Democrats had a big problem with the whole conversation on self-medicating. Like, wow. The problem was that they were making this thing so restrictive that you were basically gutting a whole industry. Now, I'm going to give you my inside ball. My inside ball was that bill was with the best of intentions, but there's something else to this, which is the medical marijuana, folks. We're going to have on about this year recreational marijuana. And I believe what's happening here.
Stop. OG, can I get a little applause? Just, I need to enjoy that for a second. Hold on. Say that again.
My understanding is this year on the ballot is going to be a recreational marijuana. Now, I am not going to speak on the pros and cons of whatever it's your choice, folks, to make.
Brother, I can do it.
The concern was that those within the medical marijuana industry, as they're prepping for some of this stuff, what I was hearing behind the scenes was that bill was being used as a way to gut the hemp industry folks. So for those folks that are out there, the medical marijuana folks, what would have happened was these same people who fought hard tooth and nail against the pharmaceutical lobby, they were using the same tactics. In essence, to gut the hemp industry because they don't want to compete with the gummies that are coming from hemp and so forth, the CBD and all that stuff. They don't want to compete. And so where my boss was behind the scenes instrumental was, look, I don't have a problem with a lot of the garbage that's coming from out of state. My concern number one is we have farmers right now who are involved in this. Whether there was a loophole or not is immaterial because people have invested millions of dollars in it, and now to all of a sudden pull the rug underneath them is not fair to them. So he said, look, let's find a middle ground. And he worked with some folks that he knows from back home who are involved, legitimate good people. And I don't want to call their name out, but they're legitimate good people from Lake County who were involved in this. And there was a lot of talk on how do we get the bill to a better place. So at the very end, late hour, what they did was increase the caps on some of the stuff per packaging and so forth. And then there was issues with like coloring, I heard, that some folks were, you know, I don't know what the whole deal is with coloring. But anyways, we got to a better place. However, what I'll just say is that I just did not like the bill because it was way too restrictive on people who are legitimate farmers. And I could count off like 40 farmers alone that called and said, hey, but they didn't want to get cross. Their concern a little bit was being a little cross with Department of Ag a little tiny bit because I heard that some of this stuff was kind of being not necessarily being pushed, but definitely being somewhat encouraged by the Commissioner of Ag's office a little bit, just because they were worried about the potential for what was coming out of state, in state. I've always said, if you want to cure that problem, number one, you can only buy from Florida farmers. Number two, put a label on there. It says, you know, we have the fresh from Florida.
Florida grown, fresh
from Florida. Put that on there, and guess what happens? You knock out half the garbage that's coming in from out of state.
I agree.
And if you're an out-of-state person, guess what? Then set up a farm in Florida. But we're not taking your stuff because, number one, we don't know what the hell you're putting in your stuff and in your CBD. And two, I've also learned this along the way, Dan. I'm learning things. How we grow here in Florida is unique to Florida. You got people who are trying to bring strains and other things from Colorado that do not work here in Florida. The climate, the soil, everything's different, and so that could alter the chemical, the chemical ingredients within the normal process of growing THC and or just marijuana.
Can we just grow our own, please? Can we just grow our own? Give me 10 plants.
I don't know. Well,
10 plants.
I don't know. Well, I thought under medical, maybe. I thought we had did something.
You can't do that. Yeah.
I thought there was a certain like level where you say maybe one plant or whatever.
No, there's no good dreaming. No, brother. That's not it. They tell you even now they have messed with how you – with medical marijuana – you can only keep a certain amount of stash on you, and they change the timing so that you can't stockpile weed either.
Yeah.
Like you can only get so much within a 30-day period, and then like it rolls over. Like I don't smoke enough to be concerned with that, but what I'm saying, your chronic people are like pissed off. But, you know, here's the thing. Man, Alaska is like been growing shit forever. You know what I mean? Like Alaska is ahead of everybody and growing pot. And it's like, we're becoming farmers. We're becoming homesteaders, like in our own little square footage because we can't afford food. So we're growing our own. Why can't I grow my own weed? Pass that shit recreationally. It's successful in other states. For God's sake, if you're not going to do a state tax and state income tax, give us some more ways to generate money. Cause God knows we're not getting it off of developers. We're not getting impact fees. Let us have the recreational marijuana. Let us have the tax for it. Okay. Let's do it like the gas tax. Let's do it demographically based. Let's get some good dispensaries going on here in Deltona. Deltona could be a premier destination for dispensaries. We could buy an old shopping center and turn every one of those stores into a dispensary.
And then every time I walk out of my house, I go...
Yeah.
Oh, they're
sharing is caring.
Half of Deltona's
dispensary next door.
Half of Deltona's lighting up again. I can smell it.
Here's
the
thing. Here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do. I want to talk to my development partners right now. Okay, developers, hear me out.
We
don't need to tear up any more trees. We're going to repurpose shopping centers. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to Deltona Plaza. We're gonna put some more recreational pot dispensaries in there. Okay, so. Then we're going to have a bakery next to that. We already have a good restaurant. Mm. Okay. C's Waffles.
Oh.
So C's is there. Okay. We have some waffles and chicken. So you go get your weed. Uh-huh. Okay. Maybe even a little hookah cafe. It's better than people drinking. We're going to have a whole marijuana complex. We're going to bring community together, people of all generations. You're going to have the... Listen, I was on the beach. Listen, let me finish.
You're starting to sound like a flower power person.
Listen,
okay, got it. Okay.
Listen to me. I was on the beach the other day, whatever day it was I went, at Wednesday, to the beach. There's these. I look at these two older ladies, older than me. I can say I'm 60. They were close to 70.
Okay.
I walked down from the bar that I was at. I wasn't drinking. I was getting an iced tea.
Okay.
Coming down the steps to these ladies, they're passing the fucking joint back and forth. Okay.
Wow.
And I'm like, you go, girl. I had this T-shirt in my truck that I got for somebody, but they sent me three for some reason. I went to send them back to Amazon. They said, keep them. We're going to refund your money, right?
Yeah.
It says chicken pot pie, and then at the bottom it says three of my favorite things.
Mm.
And so I gave the shirt to the lady because they're just sitting there blazing away. Were they hurting anybody? No, man. It was better than like drinking on the beach.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Recreational marijuana brings people together. There's so much that comes from that. We have Dewey Boster Park. We can have a green festival. Music, flower power, weed, cigars.
They actually got a Mount Dora has a they do a
420
massive they did something for, I think it's 420 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a festival they have over there in Mount Dora. On as you come around, if you come off of 46 and go up the
I know where you're talking
441
about. Yeah,
and kind of come around the corner is like this massive lot of land over there, and they do it's where they've had other festivals in the past over there.
We could be, you know what we could be? Yeah. We could Deltona could start this. We could be Del Reefer. We could be Delwana.
God,
we could be Delwana. We could be Del Ganja.
Del
Ganja Festival.
I do not look forward to that. What you do in the privacy of your own home is your own business.
Recreational, baby. Sharing
listen,
is caring.
Once again, I've told you before, I'm pretty much a libertarian on that stuff. I don't look. If it happens on the ballot, it happens. I'm not going to think one way. I'm not going to advocate.
How are you going to vote?
What happened? How am I going to vote? Yeah. I may end up voting that way to just have it legalized. Because I just actually, somebody approached me not so long ago. And they were coming, they had information. They were like, Eric, there's a lot more here with marijuana on some studies that have been coming out lately on the, some of the negative impacts of marijuana in general. And I know because they were like, oh, I used to be one of those people like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Marijuana's not really doing it. Nobody's really dying from marijuana, whatever, and so forth. But and if they want to do it, let them do it. And then they came up to me as well. I've been doing a lot more research. I would just happen to go somewhere and somebody came up to me and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, well, look, I hear everybody.
Listen, motherfuckers have really bad information on Viagra, but does that stop men from taking Viagra? No, we're still going to sponsor and we're going to subsidize and welfare Viagra, for God's sake.
Yeah, I just, to me, from everything that I've read on it and just in general, look, marijuana could be a little bit like – folks, I'm not tying this 100% together, but I'm just saying it's another – look, it's another one of those little things, those vices, right? I get it. Nobody wants to have vices in the world, but we already have alcohol. As a matter of fact, I would argue on the flip side of that, you probably have a less chance of running into problems with marijuana than you do alcohol.
Alcohol is
a real thing called alcoholism. You don't have that in marijuana. I'm sorry, but I've yet to see of any case study where they say, "Oh my God, we're severely addicted." Like people, like the companies, companies purposely put garbage in cigarettes to make it addictive. Like I'm not addicted to my cigar, dude. I may go days without smoking a cigar. I'm not addicted to my cigar.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, but cigarettes is addictive.
Listen, I'll tell you something too.
Yeah.
I never woke up next to an ugly guy after smoking pot. I can't say that about drinking alcohol.
Gosh, I know. You ever see that thing? So Facebook one time had like it was early on where they were sitting there, like showing these little videos, and it's like they had the guy at the bar, and there's like an ugly lady sitting next to him, and he's like, "That's the one drink." He's like, "Oh, you know, has the second drink." She starts to change by the third, by the fourth drink, she's like this knockout. And he's like, "Yeah, let's go home, baby."
Hey, have you seen the one on Facebook now? This dude wakes up, he's hungover, you can tell, and he's laying next to this really ugly lady. She got a wart on her face, a mole on her face, right? Like, whatever. And he's getting his stuff together and he's sneaking out the house with his clothes and his shoes, trying not to wake her up. And he gets to the bottom of the stairs and kids come running up and say, "Dad, Dad." He woke up next to his wife.
Oh my God, that is so bad. Can you imagine that, man? That your partner is so ugly. And I'm gonna go on a limb here. Both sides, right? Your partner is so ugly that you have to actually drink alcohol to make it work.
Yeah,
that's not good. Anyways, God, I'm going to hell for that one. Anyway, but no, listen. So my point in saying all that, joking around, is just I'm not here to defend it or not defend it. I have my own personal views on it. People, you're going to be able to make your choice this go around on it. It's going to need 60% of the vote in order to pass.
It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you that. My prediction, let me see this.
Yeah.
The great Carnac says it will pass by 68% majority.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Thank you.
We'll see what once again. There you go. Tana's now. You know what? You could check that one off the box, and you're like, I got one or two more issues left, and now I'm good.
Yeah.
Between now and 70, I'm good.
Okay. do I have? I'm about to be 60.
Uh-huh.
I got a good 20 years, so still give them hell. You know what I mean?
Maybe more now.
But I'm saying to give them hell. Okay, after that, when I get 80, I'm just going to chase my young fucking nursing assistants when I'm in the home. That's all what I'm going to be concentrating on. Okay.
I just had a picture of a poor guy, 25-year-old big dude in his facility, and Dana's trying to like pinch his butt. He's like, and then they're all sitting there going, dude, the old lady keeps bagging on me.
Calling my son for the third time in a day. Bless his heart. Can you see Shane trying to tell him to come get his mama? He'll change his number.
Shane, if you hear this, I'm sorry. I know. I get it, dude. You and I shook your head. We shook our heads and just sitting there kind of, and I feel bad because she's your mom, but I'm just like.
That's not going to be me.
Last time I saw Shane, we were talking about it. He's like, dude, we got to stop all the innuendos, please.
That messes him up. That kid, listen.
Yeah.
You know him. He is so much more conservative than
yeah,
me.
I was going
to
say
he's embarrassingly conservative to me.
He is definitely much more. He is definitely much more conservative
and mature
on his yes. Outward perspective on really how he carries on how he carries himself.
Yes,
and definitely, and I know because he's telling me, oh God, you guys got to stop with the Indian windows, man. It's killing me. Yeah, I know. I know. Saying I'm sorry, man. What was another?
I missed you so much.
I hear you, my dear. What was something else?
Oh, that just giving me like a laugh headache.
Oh, boy.
Okay, go ahead.
What else did we do this year that was pretty?
Hey, let me ask you something. Yeah. What's going on with Randy Fine?
He's running for state senate. And, you know, he'll probably win that area out there because I know you don't. I know you don't care for Representative Fine, but there's a big contingent in Brevard that like him because of the way
Dandy
he is.
Dandy Randy.
He's brash and bold. He says things that sometimes he...
And he loves strippers. That's why they like him. That's why they really like him, because he likes strippers.
God.
I'm going to tell you. I'm just telling you.
Oh, look, that teaches on, man. I don't
he's going to get 80 one day, too, and he's finally going to come out, and he's going to say, Commissioner McCool was right. That's all he's going to say. McCool was right.
God, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Let me see. Anything else?
Oh, you know what the rumor is too. I've been hit with this rumor again for the second time that I was the reason we didn't get state funding for.
Not true. That's a bunch of BS.
Can you tell?
Yeah. Whoever's out there saying that we didn't get certain state funding because of Dana McCool and her bashing the governor, it's not true.
Thank you. And this is coming from.
And pass this along to my Republican colleagues. There are those who know Dana who know and get it, and they're like, "This is ridiculous," and they roll their eyes. And there's others who are using it as a, I don't know, pseudo campaign or whatever it may be.
Thank you.
Stop the nonsense. It's all BS. Many cities were impacted this year.
Mm-hmm.
Many cities across the board, and that trust me, I get it. They legitimately needed money. There were cities in our district that did not get, even Lake County did not get because we thought something would happen. But, you know, look, man, and this is, I'm going to talk about this for a second because this is probably going to rile you up a little bit, but it needs to be talked about a little bit.
Sure.
So obviously I told you earlier that, you know, we appropriated $800 million towards Live Healthy, which mm-hmm. is, you know, we're going to see how that program rolls out. But that program, it was a big centerpiece for this year. For Senator Pasadomo, right? That's $800 million. That goes towards grant funding to increase healthcare access to the state of Florida, creating a website where indigent care can go there and take a look where they have in their communities and so forth, right? A whole host of things. The mental health issue, trying to make sure that we can get more doctors, get teaching hospitals for mental health. It's a whole big thing. $800 million. Mm-hmm. There was that. Then there was obviously, you know, look, we appropriated, I think, nearly $10 billion in reserves this year. So not only did we pay down our debt, we applied more money to debt, $10 billion. Now, once again, I'm as conservative as anybody out there. But I'll tell you that I wish we would have pulled maybe about a billion or two out of there to fund some other projects. Because if you think about it, right, we're now going to have close to 20%. So our current state budget, our current – forget about – all the pass through monies that we get, trust fund monies we get from the federal government, state trust funds, whatever, our actual operating budget is around $51-52 billion. We're going to have close to 20% set aside of our operating budget.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible that the governor is such a tightwad? I'm not going to say that. Let me reframe my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me reframe my
question. I don't want the items getting cut from the budget because
of
that.
Do you think that the governor is that conservative, right? Fiscally, or that he doesn't really know what to do with the money, so it's best to save it. No, and I don't mean that intelligently he doesn't know what to do, but that there are so many needs or whatever, and that everybody's fighting over it that he just put it away.
No,
because we could use some of that money.
I don't disagree. So here's what I'll tell you: that this is the mindset, and so there was a mindset this year. So you know, for the past probably since times have been good, probably for the past 8-9 years,
mm-hmm.
the budget has gone from when I first got in, the budget was around $93, $92 billion. And about almost 12 years later, we're sitting at about $117 billion budget. Some people would argue, wow, what a huge – a lot of my conservative friends would say, oh, my God, what a huge increase over just a 12-year period, right? Now, once again, so there was a concerted effort. Normally what we'll do is last year's budget was $117.4 billion. Normally what we do is that we in prior years, we've mm-hmm. always started that as our base and then got up from there. So we'd finish off at 118, 119, whatever, right? This year was a concerted effort. Speaker Renner really wanted to kind of pause the brakes on some of that stuff because he felt like we're just getting ahead of ourselves. And if something bad happens, you know, all these programs that we're tying funding to, we're going to have to come up with the money somehow, some way when times get bad.
Bad's already happening here.
No. Listen, I hear you. But listen, I'm just giving you the group. I'm just giving you the thought process. Okay. So between him and the governor, they decided they wanted. So what we did was we went back to 115 and change as our starting point. And we ended up this year with 117.1. So we're about $300 million under. And then I fully expect the governor's probably going to cut some funding here and there, and we'll be under the $117 billion, whatever that dollar, and then he'll be able to say, hey, look, you know, we put some curtails in the budget. Now, as far as the reserves, I honestly believe it is just a nature of – I've talked to people behind the scenes and privately, and I'll just tell you that it's a proud moment for him, because do you realize here in Florida, if you're just – I'm just talking about conservatives in general, right? Think about this. Florida probably is probably one of the most financially stable states in the country, all right? And the fact that we're setting aside X amount, he now gets to tell everybody, look, man, pardon my French, if the shit hits the fan, Florida's going to be ready. Yes, we'll still hurt a little bit, but we're not going to suffer as other states do. And we'll have money in reserves. And also, there's a reality, and you know this, we're getting hit with storms that are becoming a little more wild in nature. And so we're setting aside funding in case that happens. So of that like total 12, 13, 14 billion revenue reserves, we could have a storm this coming summer. And guess what we're gonna have? We're going to have $1 billion, $2 billion we can easily apply out there very, very quickly in the marketplace. As homeowners are waiting for their insurance claims to come back, we have monies to help prop some of that stuff up. If we do run into a major recession, all right, coming in the near future, Florida will be okay. One of the biggest things we always do, right? When Charlie Crist came around there and then the crisis was hit, all the fees started getting jacked up. We now have money to sit here and say, hey, we're not going to increase the fees on people in Florida, so we can go ahead and we'll be able to protect them at least a little bit. That's kind of the mindset, Dana, whether you agree or not. Now, I would say, and this is what I'll tell you. I'll concede this much. I think we could have used another billion or two set aside because infrastructure is becoming in many areas in Florida, it is a problem. In many areas in Florida, it's starting to become a little bit of a problem because we have a lot of people coming in. Now, that said, I'm not going to disagree.
I am going to say one thing.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
I want to say how fucked up it is. I think that the more people that come in, the less our millage rate. They try to roll back millage rates in the state of Florida, right? Legislature has control of educational spending. Mm-hmm. The more people that come in, the more they try to lower the millage rate. Instead of collecting money from these people and making sure that we have a solvent education system, which we don't, we have teacher shortages, whatever, pick it.
Yeah.
I wish that the Republican Party was excited about how to generate more money as they are of how to keep cutting. That's always Republican answer. Cut, 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 cut. I don't see anything. Look, we can't even make money off of Disney now because the governor's fighting with Disney. We can't even make money there, right? There is no creative ways of how we generate more money, because here's what happened. When you start doing that, then the Republicans are all like, fucking tax, 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 while not wanting to spend any money. It's just like so tightwaddy. I'm conservative. I put money in my 401k. I have money in savings. I might have a truck that's been paid off forever. It's not like I'm out there spending money, but I do believe and I see problems and try to help when I can with money. Yeah. So why are we not doing that? Why is it always about cutting, 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 cutting?
Well, so
state income tax would take care of all that.
Stop all the northern
ways from moving down here.
I don't know about all that because they're already used to.
I was making funny.
Yeah, I know. They're already used to state income tax where they're coming from. Here's what I'll tell you. I think there's money out there that we just need to be creative about. So let me just give you. Just us in general at the legislature, level. Mm-hmm. So this year, it happened at the very end of session. So you remember that my boss passed the Wildlife Corridor Act to go along with Senator Broder, right? Okay, that's in place. We've allocated now, listen to me, we've allocated close to, I think, already over the last 3-4 years, close to, I want to say, about $2 billion towards that. The question is going to be in the future, what type of funding do we have on a more permanent basis to keep this going for generations to come? Because the Wildlife Corridor is going to be – it's going to be massive.
State
it's huge.
Tax.
No. This is what we did at the very end. I thought it was very cool. And then we can probably look at applying this in other ways as well down the road for water projects and all kinds of things. All right. The Gaming Compact. We get about $400 million a year from the Gaming Compact. So Senator Pasadena put it out there and had conversations behind the scenes with Speaker Renner and said, we are now going to, of that $400 million, we're going to take $100 million from that money and we're going to apply it to the Wildlife Corridor Act so we can continue to fund this because we need that revenue source. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the late hour, out comes this boom amendment, pow, bing, zoom, and it's passed. And now we got $100 million being allocated towards the Wildlife Corridor for years to come. So that's how we're going to do it. My point in saying that is there are pots of money that we could do without having to dip into other trust funds. There's ways of doing it. We got to be willing to take bold action. I will agree. I think that one was a very bold action. I was like, wow, when we heard that and she put it out there so that we were up on the 22nd floor of the building. The foundation was up there. The Wildlife Corridor Foundation was up there. And she announced it. And she said, look, I'm having conversations right now with the speaker and the governor's office about what we can do with those monies. And I think that was bold. And I think that's what we need to do at the state level is there's monies out there without increasing taxes or doing this, that, and the other. And I would agree that there does come a point in time where if we cut taxes too much, there's a negative impact on the general welfare of the state as well. That's part of the Laffer curve, right, that Ronald Reagan's economists used to talk about. That, look, cutting taxes does a good thing, but there is a point where you go too far back, it has a negative impact.
Yep.
So that's one where I can walk away feeling of anything that we've done this year, a couple different things that we've done and feel proud of. I feel really proud of just saying that, you know, that – being part of the legislature, that was really cool because we definitely need a dedicated funding source, and that $100 million is going to be appropriated. So for a lot of the folks, the environmental folks out there, whether you want to applaud or not, because it was Republicans who did it, my point is this was a good bipartisan.
Who wouldn't want to applaud that? That's very bipartisan. Everybody cares about the environment.
I just say,
I don't know why Republicans think that they have the lock on conservation. Like, here's what I'm going to say. That was directed at one county commissioner or a councilman. He knows who it is, but I love him like a brother. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Brother, yeah. I love you so
much. Anyway, so all that, mm-hmm. I'm going to tie it back into something else.
Okay.
Well, not something else, but I'm going to wrap up. We'll start because I know we got to start wrapping up. I'm going to tie it back to the original thing of, did the governor cut some of our funding because I was out there talking about the governor? And I'm going to go, no. I highlighted three areas specifically.
Eric, how long have you been working in state legislation?
Almost 12 years now.
Almost 12 years.
Yeah.
So I would think that this man sitting here to my right would know a little bit more than street people.
Than the street people who are actually saying that out there. Yeah. It's stupid commentary. I'm going to call it for what it is. It's just stupid. And it's rumor mill, folks. That has nothing to do with
it. You can tell it's getting silly season, otherwise known as political season.
Yeah. Oh, and hats off to 305. I know I'm jumping around here a little tiny bit.
No, go for it.
But my hats off to 305 for getting on BPAC. So thank you very much, Commissioner.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
All BS aside, right? He's the man for the job. There is no more anyone more parky and traily other than Pat Northey than 305. Mm-hmm. Former Commissioner Victor Ramos, who is now with Halifax. He has been an avid biker, pedestrian, trail guy.
For those who don't know, what is BPAC?
Bicycle, Pedestrian Activity Committee.
Which is part of TPL, Transportation Planning
Organization.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. So when I heard you'd put him up, I was very happy about that. Not just because he's a friend, but just because I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. You told me you were going to put him up. I said, well, I guess who better?
Yeah.
He's always riding the trails. He's always talking about it. I've even told whoever could listen to City Daytona, we always should be marketing our trails. And I always feel like we don't do enough of it doing it.
Well, listen, I'm going to finish up here with Daytona Politics here. We are going to hire an amazing city manager.
Okay.
I feel that.
I hope so. Good.
I feel that we have an amazing dais right now. Okay. We do. We are so cohesive up on that dais for the most part.
Yes.
Okay. For the most part. We are very cohesive up on that dais about what our mission is, getting a good city manager, working on infrastructure, meaning stormwater. That's what we're working on right now. Mm. You know, very, very consumed with that right now. That's what my mission is right now, getting a good city manager. We have now seated in District 1 and 2, respectively, Davis and Harriet.
Which you told me about him. I did not realize who he was. And I said,
now you do, right?
I do. And it's actually a good choice.
Yes. Thank you.
Solid choice for that.
Thank
for that
you
district.
Very much.
Yes, yeah.
Also, District 2, Troy Shimkus.
Which I've known Troy over the years. I don't interact with Troy as much. But from the few times he and I have always
pragmatic.
Talked. Very pragmatic. And people had asked me about him being appointed. The first thing I said was, a pragmatic individual that that's not going to be all showy on the dais and whatever. And
he's
not
agenda driven, meaning that he has no purpose other than the purpose unto itself.
Yeah. So I thought two good solid picks.
Yeah.
I hope they decide they want to run, because obviously it's just an appointment. I hope they decide they want to run because that's what the dais needs.
Stability.
I've had my disagreements sometimes with the way Jody Lee does his stuff. However, but I know he's been pushing the envelope a little bit on some areas and calling things out that need to be called out from time to time. And so I can appreciate that. Obviously, you're up there doing your thing.
What is my thing, Eric?
I think you're and I know some people give you a lot of grief for this, which is pushing back on development. I want everybody to understand something. I know that she gets chastised for being super anti-development a lot of times. And I'll just say this. I know, folks, in her heart of hearts, whether you all agree or not, is just ensuring that not only is it the right type of a development, but also ensuring should that development be there, and if it's going to be there, how are we going to do it, which goes back ties back to the first point I made, right? How are we going to do that development and make sure that we're doing it in a proper manner? And so everybody can disagree with her, can yell at her, whatever the case may be. But the point is that I want you all to know that she's looking out for the people of Deltona.
I am fighting for the people, and I'm not anti-development. I'm pro-good development, and that means being financially responsible.
Yeah.
It means being a good steward of the land that you're developing on. It means investing in the community in which you are coming to rape and
pillage. Making sure that you're getting the money's worth out of it. Because
that's what I'm doing.
I mean, look, if there is funding there that they're bypassing because of a loophole here and there, close it down.
Close it down.
And, look, because I'm going to tell you this right now, it's going to come at a price. And we need to be prepared for it. And the cities, what they're left with at the end of the day is – this overdevelopment many times, the overdevelopment and then the taxpayers, we're going to have to figure out a way to pay for that down the road. And it may be increased taxes. So.
That's a whole nother show.
I get it. Yeah, I know. We got to go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Listen, really, really, really good to have you back.
Yeah. Thank you.
OG, thank you for always accommodating.
You got it. Yeah. No problem. I'll give you the broom for the sand, though.
I will
sweep my mess up. Thank you. Oh, I come running in here barefooted like I was on fire.
Yeah. That is true.
Anyways, listen, guys, thank you again for joining us. We really care about our area. We care about what's going on. And if you have any topics you'd like to bring up, write to us, please. Mm-hmm. Gonzo@thesmokingtruth.live. Come be a guest on the show if you'd like to point, counterpoint. Just always remember this, that if it's important to you.
It's definitely important to us.
Peace.
Bye.
The Smoking Truth Podcast, its owners and sponsors, take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the talk show host or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of Mike and Mike Productions or the podcast providers, and opinions between talk show hosts may differ. It is not our intent to libel, incite, or hurt anyone's feelings. We invite you to write the show's host, Dana McCool, with any feedback or suggestions you have for their shows. These broadcasts are presented and made public as entertainment in the hope that they will be entertaining to the audience.